Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women and a crack. Walking hand in hand along the Strand, Ben Bulbin. At your bank, by the river's side, you can watch the tide as it flows to Sligo Bay. I'm on the move again, back in the groove again, back in the Sligo way. I'm on the move again, back in the groove again, back in the Sligo way. In the bookie shop, I done me lot.
Hello, episode 3, Sligo Podcast. Good evening, good morning, good night, wherever you're listening. A lot of listeners the last few weeks all over the globe. Ross O'Boyle, Ronan Moriarty, welcome back, lads.
Great to be here, Edo.
Happy to be back again, mate.
You've been happy the last 2 weeks, so that's 3 in a row. It's great. Great going.
I added a mate that time there just to jazz it up.
I beg your pardon?
I just added the word mate to jazz it up
right,
a little
thanks
bit.
Thanks so much, yeah. Good friends. Lads, quiet enough weekend, I suppose. Not a huge amount happening.
Not.
Local-wise.
Not locally-wise, no. There was good sport on TV now between the Gaelic. The less said about the international soccer, the better, but I enjoyed watching the Masters myself.
Yeah, DJ done the business.
DJ, yeah, he was comfortable, yeah. Very, very impressive.
Roscoe, what you getting into?
Yeah, happy. I watched a bit of sport myself as well, at a rugby, and then, of course, the big Mayo match yesterday, so.
Bloody loved that. You might have seen the photo go to Ross. GA Go sent it all the way from Moscow.
It's good to see, yeah, the Russian Society of the Mayo supporters.
He was spotted at the Kremlin last night.
Drinking vodka.
Green and red flag. That photo cheered me up the whole weekend now.
Shout out to Gary O'Hare for the fantastic Photoshop skills. Photoshop.
Do you know who it was, actually? Who the original photo was?
No.
You know the book who was ragged off the pitch?
The Bull.
Jimmy Stoyan, is that?
Mayo Mick or something.
Jimmy Stoyan, there's another fella.
Mayo Mick or something, was it?
Mayo Mick, yeah.
That's actually him, yeah. He was. It's from an Irish Mirror article where he went in a wig to some game.
Yeah, I just saw that today, actually. He was getting in on the slide.
Like, how could you not know it's him?
What a man.
Mayo Mick. Yeah, so more reaction this week. There's a lot of more questions with the correspondence, and we'll get to that shortly. Lock of the week, come in, lads.
Yeah, fantastic.
So Jimmy will be happy.
Yeah,
see, 2 weeks
is
in.
Sitting there with the crown on his head, and I actually am wearing a fur coat.
Yeah, and I bought the BBC sound effects volume 4. Yeah. Very happy. Very happy.
Started off well. We had Xander on Thursday night. He won his three ball, I think, by 3 or 4 shots. Went on. Jimmy Lowe gave us a bit of a sweat on.
Yes, left it very late. Yeah. An 80th minute.
Bucks driving us up on Twitter, I think.
We were
as well.
Getting the rub on Twitter, all right, yeah, but.
You know. Rub. But Jimmy came through, yeah. He wanted that last ball, didn't he? Was it Earls? Or Coleman could have put one out to him about 2 seconds.
Yeah, he could. Even in the first couple of minutes of the game, Sexton could have put him away as well, but he deserved a try now. He had a great debut.
And Mayo were quite comfortable most of it, first half with the win, and then near the end.
Got tight.
All looking back, it came very tight. Yeah. I thought they were going to get the equaliser. They hung on the end. So 1 point win, but a win is a win is a win.
Bit of wayward shooting on Mayo now.
That gives us a 7.75 point profit. That's, I suppose, we had one losing bet. Now we've had one winning bet. So
and I suppose with no revenue streams or sponsors, our Smooth Jimmy's Locks of the Week will probably keep this show going for a few more weeks.
They become important.
They become very important.
If there's any sponsors out there, please get in touch with us. We'd love to have you involved.
Any businessman around the town called Jimmy that could sponsor the Smooth Jimmy segment?
Oh, we'd have to find. There's
a few at the top of my head already.
Mooney's Bar.
Yeah.
Jimmy there.
Jimmy McGarry, yeah. plenty more, yeah. What else, lads? The dancer, Ed McGinty, brought home the bacon. Murty, you're two for
that's
two in the
two
dancer.
Two from two, yeah. That's an early 6-point lead. yeah, look, we thought it got tight between Ed and Ollie Horgan there for a while. But, yeah, I think after that, after essentially Rovers qualifying for Europe, or at least we hope Rovers are qualified for Europe, I thought Ed was a deserving winner this week, and now we've got our wife runs out.
Yeah, just, I don't know if you're on the Twitter, you'll probably see it by tomorrow morning. We just tried them for comfort there in the studio. Very comfortable. So they are now ready to go out to our winners. And also mention to Sligo Stats, the first winner from the first week, whoever that is.
Whoever they are.
If they could probably give us some place where we could meet them to hand over the prize.
I'd say the Peace Park would be the best spot.
Peace
for
Park
that,
would maybe. Be a good place for it, yeah.
Under Cloak and Dagger. Or it's in a church. In the confessional booth of a church, if one of us go into one of them and he just slides the wee door over and the wife runs her pass through then.
I'm sure Bishop Doran would have no problem with the cathedral.
Well, I know Christy Jones never had a problem with stuff like that, so...
We've been jibing priests 2 weeks in a row now. We might move on.
Moving on. Follower 336. We announced it.
Our latest section, Off the Collar.
Off the Collar, yeah.
Segment 3 of the show.
Off the Collar, that only comes out after 12 o'clock. We said after the first show, follow our 336 on Twitter, we'll get a pair of Sligo White Front as well, and TJ Ford, you are a follower 336, so we'll get in contact with you as well and arrange collection. You know where they've been given out now. So TJ Ford is follower 336.
We don't ask for much from them, just a photograph please back of them with the...
Next pair being handed out, a follower 518.
518. Well, where are we now?
I think we're at 340 on Twitter. Facebook's a lot higher, but we don't care about that. no, am I joking? Yeah, that's about it for our intro, lads. We'll go to the correspondence with Bit In.
Hello, my name is Mr. Burns. I believe you have a letter for me.
Okay, Mr. Burns. What's your first name?
I don't know.
Okay, welcome back to our correspondence. A lot in this week again, lads.
Good bit in the mailbox, all right, yeah, good to see. Keep them coming in.
Yeah.
To make our life easier, give us something to talk about.
Very full letterbox. we'll start with Twitter, lads. Conor O'Mahony, at Conor O'Mahony 7. He's enjoying the show. He wrote, what is the most memorable match involving a Sligo team for you? The two that really stand out for me is the Sligo win in the Connacht final in 2007 with Eamon O'Hara's goal, and the second is the FAI Cup final in 2010 with Shams when Kieran Kelly saved the four penalties. Marty, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, good question there from Conor, right? the day against Shams in the Aviva was special, but probably my favourite day following Rovers was when they won the league in 2012. Quigley with the late penalty. Great day, great game, fully packed showgrounds, cans on the railway end, of course. The sun was shining.
I was on Bottles Desperados down the church, or the Rose Hill end.
The temporary stand, yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was on the cans. I think I was in a phase of cider at the time, so I think I had cans of Bulmers. But my favourite, my most memorable sporting event would probably be Sligo Rovers 3, Shamrock Rovers, or St. Pat's 2 in 2012.
We had actually a Carteran game the next stage. I don't know if
I tell you who we played. We played Knock Kilchamar.
Yeah.
We won 2-1. David Rooney rang in 2 free kicks, actually, is what happened that day.
A headache on the pitch that morning, though.
Yeah, I had cans of Bulmers at that game. Billy Brennan, actually.
I remember Billy for some reason. Yeah.
Billy was a substitute that day, obviously being hungover. And myself and himself were having a can in the first half. And the referee he was going to come on in the second half, about half an hour to go, but he was warned by a referee who shall remain nameless that he couldn't come on as he had consumed a couple of cans of Bulmers at that stage. So,
well, that's happening in junior football if you can't come on the pitch. So you're going for the...
Yeah, Sligo Rovers 3, St. Pat's 2 in 2012.
I'm going GA. Conor is the 2007 final. It is Sligo GA. It's not the 2007 final. It's not even one game. It's kind of a trilogy of games. For me, it's beating Tyrone in 2002, drawn with Armagh, and even the replay with Armagh, because that one still really, really just annoys me, that replay in Navan. What could have been? Those three weekends were absolutely amazing for Sligo back in 2002 when the bet your own.
Yeah, if I was to pick a Gaelic one, that it would be, I'd actually go with them three rather than
2007. I know we won something in 2007, but it was just I don't know, it was
the possibilities horrendous.
Yeah, I still don't know how the players feel about it still, but I still get think back what a chance it was. Like, they were the next two All Ireland winners. Armagh won it that year and Tyrone won it in 2003, and Sligo were every bit and better than them in those games. But they were just such memorable times. Like the game against Tyrone, they were kind of down as well, didn't look like they going up. Armagh game, they were out of it, they were down to 14 men.
14 men, yeah.
And that didn't look like they were going anywhere near that. And they rally back that day as well, and even in Navan then. Sean Davey can maybe cut it a penalty. There are a few goal chances they'll tuck. Armagh rattled and would have been the Dubs and Croker in the semi-final.
In the semi-final, yeah. Actually, Darragh McGarty's wedding, Michael McNamara was best man, two Sligo players from that time. But Mackie actually got, what was the Armagh's keeper? He was a bit of a character.
Benny Tierney.
He got Benny Tierney. So it turns out Darragh McGarty, there's a statue of him in Armagh.
Well, yeah, a lot of say he won them the
Hot
Ireland. Fisting and over. Jesus, yeah. What, Benny Tierney got?
Oh, Benny Tierney was sorry, yeah. So Mackie cut up and the projector came down and Benny Tierney appeared on the screen saying his prayers, thanking Darragh McGarty for fisting it over, that he made the boys heroes in Armagh.
Oh, no. Ah, but look, if he shot and missed, he would have been a bit with the bollocks, so why didn't he fist it over? So
Yeah, agreed.
But they were just special times in Croke Park. Absolutely special. Roscoe, you were saying the 2007 campaign.
Yeah, that was very memorable. To you. Very in our early 20s. It was
21, very early 20s. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a great time. I think it was just, I suppose, you associated with good times in your lives or young lads. Devil may care.
Me and you were sharing a flat in Millbrook.
Yes,
Bayside Toffs at the time.
Millbrook, we lived together. Yeah. We learned a lot. We grew up. We were both boys when we moved into that apartment, but. That was a good campaign. I think our house is kind of a bit of a focal point for gathering before matches and after matches, and after Toffs anyways. But we had a couple of interesting bus journeys and train journeys to the matches.
You might be wondering how you get a train journey when you play two games in Roscommon. But the first time we got the train to Boyle and tried to walk, there was no bus going, so tried to walk to Roscommon. We got to that place, kind of.
There's a little pub
roads
on the left.
Yeah. Tulsk.
No, not as far. Tulsk, we didn't get that far. The four provinces, to four Tulsk. It's a pub anyways, I think it slows down now.
We set out with just...
I think we got about 6 miles.
I
thought you were taking as the crow flies.
We were trying to, but yeah. Sure.
We had basically armed with a compass and a bag of Samson cider.
Yeah. There's a few good photos of that still floating around of like farmers out in their fields. I don't
Gary Clancy in asking for directions. We might share a few of them on the social channels, but
we eventually got picked up on the sports buses. Pat's gone off the beat a bit, but yeah, there was good times. Well, the Connor final, of course, will never be forgotten. O'Hara's goal, as Connor said, one of the great moments when he full stride. It was such an O'Hara goal from the way he was back then. So there were the good times, lads. I'm sure there's plenty more with you out there with different sports and stuff, not just the standard soccer, Gaelic, rugby-ish. Get them into us. What else have we got, lads? Where were you going to next? You had a few Twitter to come in.
We have an interesting one here. Ryan Lynch, again, is in under his pseudonym Shady McGee, although I think that's referencing, again, his housemate Laura. This is a good question, I thought, actually. Watching Katie Taylor the other night, how many slaps do you think you could take off Katie Taylor before you'd be knocked out? I have a big opinion on this one. So, Ross, I'll go to you with that one.
Yeah, look, it wouldn't be much, really. Like,
it's one fair shot now. Like, you're standing there.
Are you kind of going?
Defend yourself.
Yeah, can you defend yourself?
Not to
make a difference.
Yeah. Well, I suppose one. If she got one clean shot at you,
on the jaw.
Yeah.
Oh, gone.
Gone. Yeah. That's
it'd have to be. Yeah.
Yeah. I would have said one was my answer for that one.
You could take a body shot, I'd say.
Oh, I don't know if it would.
I'd chance a body shot, but the face, game over. Yeah.
One we're going for.
Yeah, well done to Katie again. Another
serious one. That reminds me of a question on the ground. Would you think you'd ever win a point? Obviously, no. Is the answer. A point, a tennis point against one of the Williams sisters.
Actually, I had another question that was sent in earlier in the week to me directly. What do you think is a harder sport or a harder sporting achievement? What is the most least likely? A hole in one on a 150-yard golf hole.
Right.
A 9-darter.
Right.
A 147 break.
Right.
And that's it. I can't think of the other one.
I would say I'd say hole in one is more possible than a nine darter.
Yeah, the hole in one being the easiest.
Yeah.
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 So for the average person, yeah.
Yeah.
The 147.
Are we ranking now?
Yeah.
What's the hardest?
Yeah, what's the hardest?
I think a nine darter. Because it takes consistencies off. Nine different. I suppose then there's a 147. You're hitting them many, you're potting them many balls there.
Yeah, so much things have to go right for the 147
as well.
Sir,
yeah. I go hole in one as the easiest, and then, I think you're right there.
Hole in one.
Hole in one, nine then darter, darts. And then.
Nine, yeah, then the 147, I think, yeah.
Agreed?
Yeah.
Agreed.
Well, agreed.
Yeah, very good, very good. what else? You got one, the GA, or.
What do I have here?
Do you think Sligo. Where are we? Do the panel think Sligo should focus on one sport and just grid the GAA out of our county?
No, yes.
No, unanimous no on that, yeah.
Well, I said yes.
What's the sport you focus on?
Rovers.
You'd need two Ray Flynn like that. I say he's not unlike him to not to have a dig at GAA. Rosk, no.
I have one here from Jordan Farrington. Jordy is a former Sligo player from Wanganui, I believe. Jordy asked, from my experiences, Sligo Rugby Club was a great rugby experience, and now I have a real appreciation for the quality environment the club created in my time there, and I would also like to hear more about it, including how it has grown in playing numbers of performances. Well, Jordy, it's a big one, and don't get me started because I won't stop, but definitely over the couple of weeks we'll touch in on how the game is going in the club and how it's grown. Just a really good culture out there at the moment. Everyone's playing for each other. There's no, I suppose, no dickheads, as we say.
Just to put it bluntly. Was there a few?
No, well, as the squad at the moment, right, we're really happy with it. Paddy Pearson now is in his fourth year, but Paddy's been there for a long time. He took the boys when they were a junior team before the senior team, and Jason has come in and just set a real family environment in the club. Everyone's playing for each other, and when you have the fundamentals like that, right, where everyone respects each other and works hard, then everyone else buys into it. So, Jordy, we'll talk a bit more over the weeks.
Yeah, good to hear from Jordy. He was a good addition to Sligo when he was here.
Yeah, he was.
All scenes, all social scenes.
He really got himself stuck into it, yeah.
Yeah.
And he actually put us up when we went over to New Zealand, myself and Heinze and Bellew. And,
Jesus.
And his old fella, Ginge, he was a good
enjoyed
man.
He enjoyed a nap in the pick and choose there across from the bus station when he was working.
The bus stop, I thought Jordy was in, was he?
I say he's in pick and choose. Was he a bus stop?
I'm not sure.
I thought he worked with Bus Stop Burns there, yeah.
All right, well, he enjoyed a nap. I thought he was in pick and choose. Right, last one. This one's directed at you, Ross.
Oh,
hello, our question is for Ross. Ross, do you think that if you were... sorry, I'll just pick up my phone here because I'm looking down. Ross, do you think that if you were to have been educated in Summerhill College rather than the grammar, that you may have been swayed away from the oval ball and more inclined to stick at the Gaelic football? Also, do you think you may have had it... what it took to break into the Sligo minor panel if things had been different? You're similar size to Port Joyce, who made a fine GAA career for himself. And to finish... who was your most impressive teammate when plying your trade for Cawley St. Joseph's Juniors? Brothers Fintan and Tighe in Ballinacaro. So there's three questions there, Ross. If you'd went to Summerhill instead of the grammar, would you picked up the Gaelic ball instead of the oval? Would you broke into the Sligo minor panel? And who was your most impressive teammate when you played with Cawley St. Joseph's Junior footballers?
Jeez, I don't need to write down that question. Sounds very similar to kind of a long-winded question that Mags Tullahan
sent
in last
week. Yeah, it actually came through with the same account, I believe. So Fintan and Tighe and Ballinacaro and Mags and Tullahan, they're one and the same, it seems. But anyways, answer the boys' question about them. They're listening intently on the wireless out in Ballinacaro, I'd say.
Well, unfortunately, the Gaelic career never really got off to any sort of a degree. Brian Hines, under the parenting of Tim Hines, I suppose, who was the Cawley stalwart and still is there to this day, was on to Brian to always try and get a few fellas out. But I think after the first time or second time I was there, he wasn't really pushing him to get me out anymore. I think played a little bit of a minor, all right. And Murty, you were actually a teammate of mine, I believe.
Yeah.
I think I could have been 17 and you were 18.
Hold on a minute now. You're not calling me an 18 when I was playing minor football.
Age-wise.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus, what slaps are about to get thrown there?
Well, I think you are number 17, to be fair.
I definitely know.
Yeah, we had a good, really good side there. Never quite good enough. I think we lost to Torlestran. I think I recall you coming on in a minor game up in Torlestran. We got beat by a couple of points in the championship. And I think that was the end of both of our Galway careers.
It was. And then I was, once or twice over the years, though, I was asked to come out. Not asked, actually. I know. I think they had nobody. So I think I was better than nobody. They were missing the junior Bs. So I went out one day playing against Clare. And Ado, you might have talked, did you?
That day. Is this the more recent one, or this is years ago?
Oh, well, the years ago one was myself, Owen McHugh.
Yeah, McHugh was actually texting me that the other day. He's in goals. snuck three by him. Now he wasn't like the jungle panther.
The jungle panther gets a mention again.
Yeah. Harry was playing for us. It's one of his first ever Gaelic games, right? And McHugh was in goals for Colery. And the ball went into the field behind, and Harry is corner forward, and McHugh goes, "Harry, go and get that ball, will you?" So he does. It goes, leaves the pitch and hops the fence, and McHugh had another ball in the nets and kicks the ball out to Harry's man, and our manager's going, "Harry, the back in the fucking pitch, you bollocks!" But played a few years ago against each other as well, Ross. And
yeah,
I remember I had a sleepover in Brian Hines after two pints one night, and the next day we went to Clunacool and seen you play out there as well. A full forward line of yourself, John Griffin, and Owen McHugh. Out in Clunacool, you played.
Definitely not a highlight for the parish. And then I think the last game was against, it was about a year ago, in Castle Connor, was it?
I don't know.
They put a big score on us anyways. And I came off the bench. I think I was taken off again. Absolutely brutal. And the look of disappointment in Tim Hines' face after the match just really reiterated to me never, ever pick up a Gaelic ball again. So
most impressed with teammates, all.
I'd have to give it to Brian Hines, a rugged ball player.
High elbows.
And I'm sitting here beside him.
Well, that's a dig.
Former County Under 16 player.
Yeah. Declan Rouse and Joe Drury.
Yeah, yeah. Scored 1-2 against Leitrim, but
very good.
It's never remembered.
Tim Hines story. You know this one, Marty. Remember, there was I won't say his name. A fella told Tim he'd heart pains. Was it?
A wrist and pulse, I believe, was the phrase, the coin of phrase used at the time. Yeah,
he had a bit of problem with his chest and his own, and he came down and told Tim at half time or something that he had a wrist and pulse, he'd kind of chest pains, and Tim, going corner forward.
You're running off in there, corner forward.
There was a chant made up about him that we used to be saying in Envy, but
that'd be for the chant,
for the chant episode. Yeah, yeah. Lads, that's all the correspondence in this week. We're going to come back with a bit of GA. Okay, welcome back. Time for a bit of GAA, lads. Something seems to happen every time we stop recording. It was the COVID outbreak 2 weeks ago. And last week, Paul Taylor announced his resignation just the day after we went out. I don't know, was it coming or not? Not sure. He's a statement out. He said, after careful consideration, I wish to confirm he's stepping down as Sligo GAA County Manager. Family commitments, work commitments, and current health crisis are primary factors in my decision. There's a bit more going on there. He accepted the job when they're in a transition phase. Older and experienced players are retiring, and newer players are called up. So I feel bad that I didn't get a chance to play Galway in the championship. It's a hard way to bow out, I suppose. But
yeah, look,
Paul Taylor resigned as Sligo manager.
Yeah, in fairness to him, from reading that statement there that he put out last week, like it's some service he's given to the county now. To be fair to him, between his playing days, he was an exceptional player. I think as we dwelt on last week, and even with just giving the couple of years to the team. It's an evolving team. It's a very young team that he's had to make the transition to. So I don't know. You couldn't. I don't think personally slate him. Maybe. It's just. I think we are kind of down in the dregs. And again, I have a few reasons as to why I think that is. But they're probably for another show. But look, I don't think it's any surprise. I don't think it's any surprise that Eamon O'Hara has come out and said that he wants the job. Look, Tortoiseshan have won five titles in a row, county titles in a row. I assume, would he be on a ticket with Gerry McGowan? Or?
Well, I don't know. I might get to that in a minute. Taylor took over 2 years ago from Carl Corey. They've been beating the championship up in Salt Hill by 26 points. Last year, played Galway in championship, lost 3-11-7. But I think the big thing was not them championship games, or the one championship game he had. They were knocked out in the qualifier by Offaly, 3-17-15. It was the league form, I suppose.
Yeah.
People are on about to lost 7 league games out in Division 3 last year without a point. Lost number 4 this year when promotion probably was on the cards. If we'd beaten Waterford, I know COVID came along then, but we're in control against Carlow in the second last game, won that, and you never know what would happen there. Promotion could have been gained. So I think he'd be disappointed himself. But it is, as I said, a young team, and a lot of young players have been brought in and blooded now.
Yeah, and you'd hope that that would augur well for the future. I would take the point about the league form. Like, you know, I think Sligo should always be, even at the minute, like even if we are blooding a young team, like Sligo should be competing at the top of Division 3, maybe the bottom of Division 2, I would have thought, is where we would be in the grand scheme of things. So I suppose for a new manager coming in, I suppose things can't really get any lower, can they? So you're starting from a base there with a young squad, and I suppose the immediate objective has to be to get out of Division 4. You're wasting your time playing football down there. You know, you need to start looking. And it's funny too, because you can, if you win Division 4, like the last time Sligo won Division 4, they went
2009. Yeah,
won Division 3 the following year.
Well, funny, yeah, in 2009 they won Division 4 and they played Antrim in the final Division 4, and they played Antrim in the final Division 3 the next year. Yeah, so two teams got a bounce.
Yeah, you got a bounce. And Sligo unlucky to be relegated that year too. It went down to the last kick of a ball in Meath, I think, was it?
Yeah. But like, as you said, so when they were playing Division 4 football and Division 3, then 2010 they go beat Galway and Mayo in Connacht. So league football isn't the be-all and end-all.
Yeah, but winning becomes a habit, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, no, 100%. But like, Sligo have been down in 4. Like, there's not saying it's an overreaction to the league form. It wasn't 7 defeats isn't good enough, obviously. But we've been down there before, so there is a way back out of it, clearly. Like,
there's definitely. And like, even as you say yourself, we probably weren't that far off at this year. You know, a couple of kicks of the ball either way, as you say, against Carlo, like losing to Waterford at home now.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
No,
because we just come off beating Wexford.
Wexford, yeah,
like,
yeah.
So things look to be looking good. But yeah, that's that. Paul Taylor. So after 2 years, one championship campaign, of course, this year wasn't played against Galway, who lost to Mayo yesterday. But Taylor or Eamon O'Hara.
Is that a slam dunk? Is it, or is there other contenders as well? Or
I don't know. It was a text they seen earlier from one of the lads saying that clubs have been asked by the county board to put in nominations. So who knows who will be nominated?
Is that lip service or?
Maybe. I would have thought when O'Hara said he's interested the other day Ball Talk podcast that it's probably his or, yeah. That's my thinking, and it's his thinking on the county. One ex playing legend to another, it'll pass down. It's a natural step, is it?
I mean, I suppose, yeah. Like for him, I would assume, having had the 5 titles in a row with Tour de Strand, I was actually surprised he wasn't in the running for it the last time, or did he go for it? Or I think maybe he felt that he wasn't ready for it at the time. I don't know, but I think it's a natural progression for him. If we're not going to go looking outside the county, I assume he'd be he's the outstanding candidate by a long way, I would have thought.
Yeah, he mentioned on that Ball Talk podcast that the county board needing to see what they want to do and achieve and how they want to achieve it. So I presume he's going to be in dialogue, or maybe has been in dialogue already with them. We don't know, but like I said, 5, the big thing, it's been Tour de Strand back 4 years ago, was to try and get the 2 in a row for that match, because it hadn't been done in so long.
St. Pat's, I think we're the last St.
Pat's back, yeah, and then they done it and haven't stopped. Yeah, so maybe nothing more to achieve then. I'd say he wouldn't mind another rap at Connacht with Tour de Strand as well at the same time. But as you asked, yeah, I was thinking that myself when I heard him talk last week. Is it O'Hara and Jerry McGowan ticket? Because they have been joint managers, of course. Even can't give them all the credit there. Jerry's obviously very much part of that Tour de Strand team, so I don't know which way that'll go. That'll play over the next few weeks. So
it'll probably be announced after we go off the air tonight. That's where things will be going.
Or it's something shocking.
I think it'll be the next few weeks. Because as you said, I've mentioned the last 2 podcasts, county football could be, well, I don't think it will be, but it could be back February-ish time maybe, but I very much doubt it. I think they'll give them a break now. But that's an interesting one. There's more to come with that. And we'll get in deeper with that in the next few weeks. Bad on the pitch, the only Sligo representative of the weekend was the ladies, and things didn't go well for them again. 7-18 to 2 points against Clare. Not a good performance at all. And I watched a bit on YouTube. So it's been a disappointing campaign for the Sligo ladies. They've suffered some heavy beatings. And it's definitely back to the drawing board there for them. I don't know, did the broken up year suit them? Because they were competitive against teams like Kildare last year. So disappointment there. No. Yeah, and that finishes them for the season. I don't know if they're a relegation actually battling that, but that finishes them up for the season, so they'll be disappointed with that. That's about it for GA, lads. What was on Mayo, Galway? We talked about it at the start of the show because it brought in our lock of the week. Tight old game. Salt Hill in winter. It was a typical
game, typical, yeah. Game. Mayo got out to the lead, and I think I said it last week, I think it could be very Mayo-like to win this All-Ireland this year.
Well,
nice pathway now, isn't it?
It's Cork or Tip.
Yeah, it's opened up for them there now.
In the semi. They won't fear them, but I don't think Cork or Tip will fear them either.
No. And Mayo tend to drop to the level of the team they're playing at, actually.
Very much so, yeah. Although I think they could open up completely in Croke Park now, because that Owen McLaughlin wing back.
Unbelievable.
Nice. Then you have Oisín Mullen going forward. A bit of pace there, them boys going forward as well. And Paddy Durkin's flying. So and
your man Ruan in the middle, it's been sensational.
I actually thought he started poorly yesterday. He gave kicking ball away and then he just
took over.
Got into it and took over. Yeah, he was very good. Yeah,
Oisín Mullen's going well, isn't he?
Oisín Mullen's going well, yeah.
Brother of Shawnee Mullen, a fellow from our rugby team from Ballinrobe, going really well.
Kilmaine actually is their club, Ross.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, Shawnee played with Ballinrobe himself.
Rugby.
Okay,
Kilmaine will be their GA club now, just the fair side of Ballinrobe. I don't think they'd like
the
to.
Fact checker.
Yeah, just to stop you in your tracks there. But I don't think Kilmaine have a GA club because it's a tiny old rugby club, I mean. Village, but. Oisín Mullen is a big fan. I didn't know he's Sean's brother. But he's a fine. Dubs ratted again.
Yeah. Less said, the better.
Yeah. And Kildare and Meath. The camera, that was nearly unwatchable.
Yeah. Some amount of goals. Scores,
yeah, they scored 5-9. The last time scored 5-9 was about 2010.
The famous
Lough
game,
yeah. Then the final, and then but they scored 7-13 against Wicklow in the first round. So they scored 12 goals in 2 championship games.
Yeah, because even I was actually like in the very first minute of Laois against Dublin, your man ran through and
smacked
the crossbar. Yeah. Like look, Laois were never going to beat them, but like I don't know, maybe if Meath could. Maybe open them up and score a couple of goals. And
the first 20 minutes, I'd never seen Dublin give away as much ball as they have in the last 10 games.
It was 4-2 after 27.
Yeah, and Kilkenny were fisting balls to each player. Other players, they weren't tuned in. Then they're just a machine. So I don't know. What is the game against Dublin these days? Getting within 9 points of them?
For the likes of me?
Yeah.
Last
year's Leinster final was 117 to 4 points. It's made so.
Okay, right.
Yeah. I always live in hope. Like even watching the Westmeath Dublin game a few weeks ago, I was like, "Geez, I have to get a few points here." Westmeath thing, but I don't know. And then there was a load of games on at the same time. Cavan Down was on. I was kind of flicking the BBC Two. Down were 1-9 to 2 points up in that, and game over, and going to Ulster finally is Donegal, and Cavan came back and won it by a point.
That's
so
2 weeks in a row.
Cavan have the morning game, yeah, but after they've won 3, the bowed men from Cavan and. and fouled my fucking head. They are fouled. So Donegal were coasting against Armagh for most of the game. They look good.
Yeah, very impressive with them now.
Yeah, they've looked good the last 2 or 3 years. I thought they've looked
putting
good.
It up to Dublin. Good.
I don't know. That's
but they've turned. I'd call them an attacking team now. Like,
and it's a serious option. Like yeah. Murphy. Not that he's not playing well because his work rate is outrageous. But he doesn't have the score.
No.
7 points anymore.
And that's, I just think, you know, teams try and muck up against Dublin, put 14 men behind the ball. I don't think it's the way, like.
Oh, they can score from all angles.
Yeah, but any time Mayo looked like beating them in the last few years was when Mayo 15. Just went at them.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah. And as well, Ryan McHugh will get you 2 points from wing back nearly. And now Patrick Morgan's playing the other wing back.
He scores goals for fun, that's
well, he's Sentinels when they won the intermediate 2 years ago. He's their main attack. He's a forward, like. And he's back. So they've. Two wing backs are going to score, and Michael Langan, then you have Murphy, Paddy McBeard come off the bench, Jamie Brennan, he can get his scores. He's, we whip it like when he with the head down to Bundoran fella. I don't know what they'll give. Well, to beat Cavan first, but I think they will. That's on their mat on Sunday, and then they'll be a good game to look forward to beat the Dubs.
Yeah.
To play the Dubs. That's about GA, lads. We're going to come back with our first interview after. Show us going to the campaign.
First of many, hopefully. Yeah, yeah. We're going. So we've lined up apprentice jockey in the UK, Dara Keenan from Ballymote. Very exciting jockey. He's had a number of wins, and yeah, we're going to talk to him next.
So, Ron, yeah, you were chatting to Dara Keenan. Let's see how you got on.
Okay, welcome back to the Sligo Way podcast. I'm joined for one of our first interviews by Dara Keenan. Dara is an apprentice jockey. He's based out of John Ryan's yard in Newmarket, and he's so far in his career had 76 winners over the last 3 to 4 years. Dara, thanks for joining us.
No problem. Good to talk to you all.
So just starting off, Dara, just wondering, is racing in your family, or how did you get into it?
No, my dad's always had horses, and he'd always had ponies and at the house breeding ponies, and I kind of just enjoyed that, and then I was asked one day by a woman called Sandra Stewart would I be interested in going down to ride out for Mac McNiff on the racehorse, and I said yes straight away, and I got into it that way. I just loved it the minute I started.
And I suppose, Mark himself, I suppose, you know, I say there's a good couple of jockeys that have started out with Mark. I think Derek Fox, he would have started riding for Mark. And...
yeah, Derek started off there. Luke has, Luke McNiff, Stephen Fox, there's been a few of them there. Yeah. There's been plenty that have gone through there, and I learned a lot there. That's been a great help to me starting off there.
And just and so what year did you move over to England, Dara?
About May 2016, I think it was.
And
I
was
just,
it a
I just literally turned 16 the week before.
And was it
moved over here?
What was it, a big step to move over, or had it been something that you were considering for a while?
Oh, it was. Like, I was going to go to the racing school in Kildare, but then I got a phone call and asked would I be interested in coming over here and giving it a go. And I had a job and all, and it would have happened a lot quicker for me over here, so I didn't really think about it. I just said yes straight away and just moved over without even thinking about it, really, and I never looked back.
And and you were straight over to John Ryan. Have you been with John Ryan since you went over?
I moved over to John Butler, and after about, I spent a year with him, and then I moved on to Robert Edries. And I think it was a year and a bit with Robert. And then my license was up for renewal with Robert, and he had only 8 horses in training. So John said I could come and work for him. He had a lot more in. He had about 20, 25 in. So I moved over to John's, moved my license over to John's. So I started working for him then, and things have been going well. You know, I've been lucky.
Yeah, and just looking, Dara, like, I see you've... so, like, 2018 seemed to be in a kind of the first year where you kind of, you know, really made an imprint. You had 23 winners in 2018. You got it up to 30 in 2019. So I suppose there was a natural progression there, Dara, was there?
Yeah, exactly. Like, you can only get better. Like, when I started off, it wouldn't have been great. And then the more rides you get and the more experience you get each year, you'll get stronger and you build new contacts. So normally you things keep progressing, but this year has been a bit of a setback with the whole COVID thing. It's kind of put me back slightly, but I'm still going okay.
Yeah, so you said you're well into the mid-teens for winners this year, and I suppose with the disruption, I suppose you probably lost you lost about 3-4 months of racing there, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. It was more momentum than anything else. Like I was going great before lockdown happened, and things just started a bit slower than I wanted them to, you know. If I was still going throughout the year, I think I might have done a bit better, you know.
Yeah, and would you, like, do you think there's been a much change now, like, post-COVID? Like, I know, obviously, there's no race scores at the race course, but do you think there's much change in like, you know, I suppose they must have added, there must be added pressures when you go to the race course, I assume, with social distancing and whatnot.
Yeah, like, you have to wear a mask everywhere now, and mask when you're riding, and it's a bit hassle, and you can only do one meeting a day, whereas before I could go from, say, Lingfield to Kempton, and you could have more rides. Now you're only able to do one meeting.
Yeah.
Because of all this COVID thing.
And just, Dara, just to give our listeners, what would be a typical day now, just around John's yard for yourself? Like, I assume, I know you have to be up early in the morning anyway.
Yes, well, I get up most mornings at 5 o'clock, go into the yard around 5:30 or that, start doing a few of the waters there, tack up the horses, and maybe muck out if we have to, if we're short staffed. And we'd ride out probably about 4 horses. And if I have to ride out anywhere else, John let me shoot down and ride out, gallop a couple of horses for someone else, which is pretty good, you know. And then I'll get in the car, probably go racing, depending on how many rides I've had.
Yeah.
And chance me luck there, and then come back. It's usually pretty late when I get back and start again the next day.
Yeah. You know? It must be just, like, I suppose, if you've a ride in Wolverhampton at 8 o'clock in the evening, it's not much of a turnaround time before you're up at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No, exactly. You're back early mornings and late nights, but when you enjoy it, it's pretty easy.
Yeah.
You know?
And so we were just discussing, Dara, how many winners you had. What would be your hopes for the future? I know you're still only a young man in this game, but what would be your hopes?
All I can do at the minute is, with this whole COVID thing, is just hope things go okay till maybe when it clears out, and then probably try get riding for a big stable and get a chance in some big races, you know.
Yeah.
I'd love to try be all-weather champion apprentice, but the way things are going, you never know. The things could pick up, and it's hard at the minute, you know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a tough game. And would you see yourself in the future, Dar? Would you like, you probably see yourself based in the UK? Would you? You wouldn't like? I know.
Oh, I think I would. Yeah. No, if I ever retired, I think I would come home and live at home.
But yeah, I suppose there's with Ireland. I suppose there's not as many opportunities as you would have in the UK.
Exactly. It's very difficult. There's not as many trainers. The race is far more competitive. Like over here, you could have six meetings a day, which that means you're going to get some chance of getting a ride. You know, even if you're no good, but I've been lucky. Things have gone well.
Yeah. And would you, I suppose, like, is there any jockey that, like, you would kind of model yourself on, or, like, would you have a favourite jockey, or?
I look at a lot of them. I used to love watching Richard Hughes ride. A lot of them be very good to me. Adam Kirby would be very good to me. Teaches me a lot. And Tom Queeley. They'd be a good help to me if I'm ever doing anything wrong. They'll point you in the right way, you know?
Yeah. And would you have, I suppose, just talking of all the winners you've had, would you have a favourite winner or a favourite track where you've had a winner? I know you've had a winner at Ascot and you've had a few at Newmarket. Would there be a favourite?
I suppose my favourite winner was probably, I had a winner at York for Robert Edry. That was probably the most exciting one. Such a big crowd there. And
that was and, that the Ebor Festival, was it?
Yeah, I think it was. Or maybe the meeting before, but it was a big race and there was a lot of people there. It's just... and nice owners, you know, it makes it a lot better.
And would you notice now, Dara, without, like, do you find it harder yourself with no race course at the race course or no crowds there, or would it make a difference? I suppose there's probably so much going on when you're...
Nah, when you're riding the races, you don't really think about what's around you. You're kind of in the zone. It is a little bit strange, all right, but it doesn't really affect your riding, or it wouldn't bother you really at all.
Okay.
You know, you're kind of in the zone. Once you're in the stalls, you don't think about anything else, only the race.
And would you, I just seen in your Twitter handle, Dara, it's a picture of you. It's obviously probably a time when you're right at Mark McNiff's, in your Twitter picture, you're a young man jumping a hurdle. Would you have any interest in maybe a career over jumps, or would you see yourself sticking a flat racing?
Yeah, like my weight's pretty good at the minute. I don't struggle too bad with it, but if I ever got heavy, I think I'd give it a go. I have no problem jumping. I love jumping. That's what I really wanted to do when I was younger, but I was just too light. Starting off, I was very light. And I could go jumping now, but it wouldn't be worth it if I got injured. Yeah. It'd ruin my chances of getting rides in the flat if I got injured for 3 months, or if you know what I mean.
And I suppose, speaking from a Sligo point of view, I suppose at some stage... Would you like to come back and maybe ride a winner around the local racetrack in Cleaver here?
Oh, yeah. Like, whenever I speak to Mark McNiff, if he's ever over for the sales, he says he'll find one for me. But we're not able to travel over now with this quarantine thing. I suppose he will find me one eventually. It'd be great.
Yeah, Mark had a decent season, actually. And he's had a good couple of flat winners this year, actually, which would be strange.
He has. He's a very, very good trainer. And, It'd be great to ride a winner for him if the opportunity ever did come about to go home and ride a winner at Sligo at the home track, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure you know half the town will be on it as well. It's rare one of Mark's ones goes unbacked up at the race course.
Exactly, and it's hard to fly back as well when you're missing rides over here too, you know.
Yeah. I suppose, Dara, just to finish up, I've been probably following racing myself since about 2002, so I probably grew up in the era of like Moscow Flyer, maybe going forward to like Cato Sayre. I know I'm listing jumps horses here, but would you have a favourite horse of the past or present, or I suppose any of your winners would probably be a favourite?
My favourite horse growing up was probably Hurricane Fly, Willie Mullins' horse.
Yeah,
super. I used to love watching him.
Yeah, just 2 miles.
It was great fun watching him, the way he was so small and he was so tough. It was great. There were great times when like Ruby and Paul Carberry and all the top serious jockeys riding back then. Like there still is now, but back then they were just all legends, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I suppose Ruby Walsh, Barry Gurdy, Paul Carberry, as you said, Tony McCauley, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And just in the medium short term future, I suppose, Dara. So I suppose like you said that, like, you know, maybe you'd hope to in the future maybe get to a bigger yard, but I suppose for the minute it's just about getting as many rides as possible.
It's going great. Like, I don't think I'd ever leave John. I'd keep riding out for John, but if I ever got the chances for a bigger yard, it'd be great. Like, I just basically want to keep doing as well as I can at the minute while times are tough, and then when things get a bit easier, then see what happens, you know. Like, I've only 19 winners on my claim left. If just hopefully things go well, keep going, you know.
Yeah. Well, Dara, it's been brilliant talking to you. Thanks for taking the time out. I know you're busy. You're coming back from a ride there in Southall. We'll definitely follow your progress. I don't know if you know it, but like, there is a genuine Sligo following for you. People do keep an eye out on how many winners you've had and stuff, you know. So just hopefully we can get you on again, hopefully maybe sometime next year if the restrictions have eased up. And just thanks a million for taking the time out to talk.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. Thanks very much.
Thanks a million, Dara. Cheers.
Thank you.
Okay, Rovers time, lads. Cup weekend in cup November. Fever. Should mean a final. Cup fever, yeah. Got the chills. Friday, 5:45, Showgrounds, Derry City.
Yeah, looking forward to it, though. Obviously, still on a bit of a high after last week. This is our kind of, especially the fact that we're playing Derry, they're one of the two, you know, a couple of teams that can actually stop us qualifying for Europe by winning the cup. So, look, we've played them twice this year, both post-lockdown. We've two wins against them. I don't think there's anything to fear against them. And like, you know, you're 90 minutes away there from a cup semi-final. The monkey kind of may be off the back in the fact that they've already qualified for Europe. Well, we hope they've qualified for Europe, but you know, whatever, either way, the fourth place finish has taken the monkey off the back a bit. I'd be confident that we can get a result. And yeah, I'm very confident heading into the game. I think the players will be buzzing after last week's win in Dundalk. So yeah, looking forward to it. Should be a cracker.
Yeah, we should be on a high, you would think, after finishing fourth and the way we did as well. But winning away in Dundalk, like we said last week, it's kind of a shot to nothing. So yeah, you had to be confident. I know, I find it hard though, the League of Ireland, you play everyone, so I know it's only two games against them, but for two recent games to beat, it's hard to beat a team three times in a row.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Look, and look, there's probably, I think I mentioned it last week, probably between us and probably ninth place, there probably wasn't a whole pile of, no, there's probably not much between them. Derry actually would probably have a slightly higher budget, I'd say, going into this year than we would have. I know they made a good few signings at the start of the year. There won't be much in it. I'm just hoping, like, Derry finished the season very poorly. I'm just hoping that the bounce we have from finishing fourth just will be enough to get us through to what's most likely a semi-final against the Shams.
And the Showgrounds a factor?
Maybe not as much now that there's no fans there. I still think the home environment has to be a positive for them. Obviously, if it was in normal times, it would be a packed Showgrounds, and then you're looking at it, it is a big factor. But I think it's a small advantage, but maybe not as much as it would normally be.
Yeah, I'm sure the players don't want their season to end on Friday evening. Like,
no.
5:45.
No, there's a huge incentive. As I said, there's a huge incentive. Like, you're probably going to play Shams in the semi-final, you know, and then it will be a free shot. You'd be playing Shams and Tala. It would be a free shot.
Well, it's Shams or Harps. They play at the same time. Yeah. Is it definitely away in Tala?
It's in Tala. Yeah, we're away. Yeah, the draw's already been done for the semi-final.
And it's Finn Park as well.
Finn Harps are our second favourite team. I might not be. I might be writing them off a bit prematurely. They're showing great form themselves.
That game's in Finn Park.
It's
bog, like. I was running through Belly of Faith today. It was bleak. It was raining now. So I don't think the pitch would be in great nick up there on Friday. That's the same thing on Friday.
Any further developments to Waterford put in the
complaint? No, well, they didn't. The I don't think they put. So. I don't, yeah, that. Once that game went ahead, that was it, in my opinion. And I don't actually put an objection in, did they? They just
queried it.
Yeah, they're talking about the courts, I think. Apparently, they're more querying the suspension dates of when the FAI actually do suspensions. Finn Harps contacted the FAI
and
about...
FAI and they got the all clear. There's any repercussions on the FAI.
Yeah. And now at this stage, look, Longford have got promoted. Shelburne have been relegated.
Exactly. So you put Shelburne back up, Longford down. I think that's going nowhere. We actually said there was two teams that could stop us last week, Derry and Athlone. We forgot about Harps. So there's three teams that could stop us potentially getting to Europe.
And Derry, as I say, our second favourite team, Finn Harps. If they win again this weekend, we'll be chanting next week.
So, although we're playing them then the next week, Bose and Dock's the other semi, the winner of that will go play Athlone. So, all to play for, like, they're all the teams there, Rovers are, well, they're no sham, they're a standout, but not a huge amount between us and any of the, what, seven teams left there?
Yeah, no, I just, the other side of the draw is probably, obviously, the winners of Bose and Dock is going to go on and play Athlone, which you would assume would be a penalty kick on that side of the draw. No. Athlone, but no disrespect to Athlone, but
that shell's 4-0.
Yeah, well, I kind of am being disrespectful to Athlone, yeah, but, you know.
Team news, I think everyone's fit and ready, aren't they?
I think there's, as far as I'm aware, now it is a bit early in the week, we're only on Monday, so.
Monday, we're day early this week, we're premature, but so it needs, such is the availability of our big studio here in our lair. a lot to look forward to there. It's hard to get too much into it, I suppose. Liam Buckley break him out during the week with a few audio bits. Tell us how the team's set up. But Ed McGinty played yesterday for the under-21s. It's a big thing for Rovers having a...
That's a huge achievement.
Number one. It was a big game too.
Disappointing result in the end.
Very disappointing.
But great, I suppose, on a personal level for Ed to be called into the Ireland under-21 team is a serious achievement. I think Niall Moran actually himself is more than good enough to be in that squad as well. But for Ed himself, I mean, I know the result was a disappointing one in the end, but... superb achievement to have a player, you know, and playing in a proper qualifier. You know, it wasn't just an old meaningless friendly.
A big game.
Disappointed that some of the players are called up to the senior squad.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I know the Nations League does actually mean something in terms of.
He got like 5 minutes off the bench last night, didn't he? Your man Knight that they called up.
The reason I think for calling him up is them games actually do.
Well, I think you see these two games actually are going to have a bearing on Ireland's ranking.
World Cup qualification, sorry. Yeah.
We need to beat Bulgaria to remain second seed. We had to win one of these games to remain second seeds, which for the World Cup, I suppose, is a big thing. But yeah, look, I...
And the same thing as well comes in with the playoff spot for the World Cup. If you don't finish in your top two in your group, you can get a playoff spot through your Nations League again.
That
same crazy, like, mind-boggling... theory of evolution stuff comes in to try and figure out how we get through, but it is, you can get through if you're the highest rank team in your Nations League group that didn't end in the top two of your World Cup qualification group. Understand? Yeah. So that's why I'd say he did call up the under-21s. I was kind of saying as well, the under-21s bigger, but what's bigger, seniors getting seeding for a World Cup qualifier or the under-21s qualifying to European Championships?
Fair enough.
Yep, I was the same. Big week for Ed McGinty, Sligo Dancer, pair of white fronts going out, and an out under 21 cap. Congratulations, Ed. So the seniors, that was disappointing. That's another. I know, sorry, look, disappointing might be the wrong word. Well, it is disappointing, but circumstances aren't going for him at the moment.
No, players unavailable, in fairness.
It's unbelievable how.
12 out the minute.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how it's gone against him since he's taken over. Like, I would have been probably, maybe as a League of Ireland man, being a bit biased and. I think he was the right appointment and I think he should be given time, but it's unbelievable the way his luck has gone.
It's a terrible luck.
Yeah, terrible, like, you know.
And COVID as well, McLean and Doherty, positive cases after playing the full game. McLean got man of the match last night and then got diagnosed positive after. Like, that's insane.
It's crazy. I don't understand how they can say they aren't close contacts anyone.
Yeah.
I don't get that bit.
I don't understand either.
Anyways, that's for the science section. So, to play Bulgaria during the week, hopefully we'll see a goal. And result, next week we'll review that Rovers game. That's the Rovers. Ross, your rugby coming up.
You get on his walking. If someone isn't filling the gap, you get on his case. You say it to him. If I fucking walk and I want to hear it. Listen to me now. Listen to me. I want them standing back thinking what the fuck is going on here. Not for the first 5 minutes. Every fucking minute of the game. Fucking manic aggression. Did you scare anyone? Did you fucking put the fear of God into
us? Okay, rugby, Ross O'Boyle, what you got for us?
Adrian, thank you very much. So at the moment, it's still the same as last week. We're still in our bubbles, doing our training, just trying to keep everybody engaged and just having a bit of crack. So this week we were just doing a few different challenges. People had to send in WhatsApp videos showing some unique skills and talents they had.
Right.
So there was some interesting ones. Damien Cullen is a young 18-year-old fella in the squad. Yeah. Bit of a character. He is quite musical, actually. So he put in a video here playing the banjo. Apparently, he's actually been quite an accomplished performer. He's been in All-Ireland for the banjo.
Deliverance or something like
that. Yeah, Deliverance style. So... Yeah, looking forward to January now, when we might be able to get back on buses to matches, because I'd say an impromptu banjo session on the way back after a win with a few cans actually
it'll be
serious crack. So that was good. We're just hoping to start preseason now, I think, in the start of December, and building in for January.
You reckon you'll be able to train back in December again?
We're going to start training again. It won't be contact training, as far as we know at the moment. This is just what we're kind of guessing. And okay. All the other clubs seem to be in the same opinion, that we're speaking to some Simon Gillespie there in Corinthians, and kind of feeling the same thing as well, that lads are going to get back and do a second preseason in December.
Bleak enough, isn't it?
It is bleak enough, but the mood is good in the camp anyways, and we're looking forward to getting back onto the pitch. So it was good news for us. Hubert Kilvary has just been called into the Connacht Academy, absolutely delighted for him. He was electric in the first couple of games. You were commentating, Nato, I think he caught your eye.
Very impressed with his fancy footwork and his determination and drive as well.
He's super determined. So really excited for him. Unfortunately, that means now he won't be available for selection for us, because he will be in the Connacht Academy.
Gone for the whole season.
Gone for the rest of the season. But look,
Even if AIL comes up,
because the way it works at the moment is that academy players are only allowed to play in the Division 1A.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a new one for this season. Right. Academy players are allowed to play.
A bit elitist, if you ask me.
A little bit. We're all going to the same jobs Monday to Friday, and we're all, you know, in the same circles, but I suppose they have a little bit more control, maybe tracing.
It's for COVID.
Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah, it's just due to COVID.
Play at the highest level. Okay.
No, yeah, it's more just that the
the moderator, if you're listening. Sorry.
3 weeks in a row with the moderator. Yeah.
I'll try and get him on. He's a lovely fella. Anyways, no. So look, best of luck to Hubert. Delighted for him. What else happening? So it was a bit of international rugby at the weekend. The Autumn Nations Cup. Friday Night Lights. It was good to have something to do, and it was an improved performance for Ireland. The fella, Jameson Gibson Park, came in, and I thought he was fantastic. Breath of fresh air. Really sped the game up.
A lot more lively around the breakdown, wasn't he?
He was a lot more livelier, yeah. And I just think when you bring that speed to the game, it just asks teams so much more questions. And I think Ireland have got just so predictable over the last couple of years that he just brings that little bit of unpredictability that just unsettles defences.
Surely it ups Conor Murray's game now as well.
Yeah, it did. Like, he came on and had played at 10 for the last 15 minutes, and he actually went all right at 10 as well.
Just thought he might start at 10 this week, is there?
Farrell said that. I think it might have been a little bit tongue-in-cheek. He just said that he's
Burns is a HIA, so he could be out as well.
Yeah, but they haven't called up any replacement to the squad.
Ross Byrne.
I'd say Ross Byrne is definitely going to start. Sexton's ruled out today, that's a definite. Yeah, yeah. So you'd imagine it would be Ross Byrne will start with Burns on the bench. If he doesn't pass the HIA during the week, they'd probably say Jack Carthy will probably be called back in again, or might go left field and bring Ian Madigan back into the fold. It's going to be an interesting game, this game against England. England are going good. Now, they're not as good as they were peak before COVID. And I think Ireland have got a little bit better, so it should be an entertaining game. Bundy Aki probably should come in for Robbie Henshaw. English team, big and physical, so Ireland, I'd say, can probably put it up to them. But
that is on Saturday.
It's on this weekend, yeah. My favourite moment of the whole weekend actually had to be Argentina.
Yes, Las Pumas.
The Argies.
Unbelievable. So Argentina haven't played
for the Falklands.
Argentina haven't played a test match in over 400 days.
I seen videos after how they were training. Like, they were literally running around their sitting room. Somewhere.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
It was nuts. And I think they only got together recently. They had to do everything remote. The energy and the passion that they brought to that match was just incredible. They bet the All Blacks. The All Blacks lost two times in a row now. I think it's been a long time since that happened. Argentina set the tone early. Pablo Matera, their captain, had a real Roy Keane Overmars moment there. Dane Coles kind of hit one of the Argentinian fellas, just a little bit of a slap. Not much in it, like just shithousery, really. And Matera absolutely lost the plot.
Oh, sorry, I seen that. Yeah, the ref was on to him.
The referee goes,
"You can't do that." And he goes, "I'm leaving my country."
He goes, "I need to see more leadership from you." He goes, "You're a captain. I need to see more leadership." And he goes, "I'm playing for my country. He needs to show me respect. Yeah, he needs to show me respect." So he was so fired up, and then he was a machine. I actually bumped into one of our Argentinian imports today in town, Franco Di Meglio, and he was still absolutely buzzing. And I said, what's it like? And he goes, oh, he described it as a revolution back home. I think the Matera in his pre-match talk was talking about how he wants all the kids to get out there playing rugby. And Franco said it's just absolute scenes back home. So
really? Delighted. That was in Sydney. So
that was in Sydney,
playing Australia this week?
Australia are playing Argentina this weekend. Right. Should be a good match now. Michael Checa, actually the last Australian coach, is now helping out with the Pumas now as well.
Ex-Leinster?
So ex-Leinster, yeah, as well. Won Heineken Cups at Leinster, old Checa.
Cheeks.
Yeah, so he knows that team inside out. He probably he'll have a point to prove as well. Didn't kind of finish on good terms with the Australian team, so it'll be a tough one. You'd imagine Argentina be very hard to mentally get to that same level again. Yeah.
Do they play New Zealand again in a few weeks?
They do, so South Africa pulled out of the tournament.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
So South Africa pulled out of the tournament.
So they're probably playing Australia twice and New Zealand twice.
Yeah, playing everyone twice. But look,
very good.
I would say Australia are the favourites for this weekend. You'd imagine if Argentina gets anywhere near that level of performance again that they'll win the game. I just think mentally they'll be a little bit spent and they'll find it hard to get up for it again. So Australia are in a really good position. If they get a win this weekend, they could actually... potentially push on and win that Tri-Nation. So look, some good games to watch this weekend. That's it rugby, from me.
Local rugby and some international rugby roundup. We're going to come back with the lock of the week.
It'll be Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week.
Ooh, that's a big lock, all right.
Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week. Jimmy is on a high after last week, lads. What a win.
Great win. Hopefully there was a few out there that followed us in.
There was, yeah, there definitely was. I know a few sent photos, but I think there was more than...
A few lads texted about it. Pretty happy. So let's see. Hopefully we haven't burnt out. See if we can back it up this weekend.
We're going all the Simps. No, you went golf last week. Yeah, Marty, take it away there. Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. So, right, we're starting off. We're back. It's actually the overall price is slightly higher at the time of going to press on Monday night.
Wow.
So first selection, Adrian, we go to you.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with GA, but I'm going to go hurling.
Hurling,
It's in Porky Queeve on... Saturday, it's the All Ireland hurling quarter final, Waterford versus Clare. My lock of the week is going to be Clare at a big, I think a very big in my opinion, 15-8 to beat Waterford. Waterford are quite impressive yesterday. Yeah, they got a lot of plaudits for their performance against Limerick in the All Ireland in the Munster final, and the Bet Cork forwarded obviously. But with Tony Kelly on the form he's in, you might say Clare one man team, but with him in the form he is in, I think he gives Clare every chance in any game to play. So 15-8 for Clare against Waterford is my lock of the week.
Yeah, I think that is a big price as well. Tony Kelly's like a magician there at the minute. He's just putting up ridiculous totals. Roscoe, you're sticking with the international rugby. You've gone with Ireland on the handicap plus 12.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking of a few different ones, but I think I'm going to go with Ireland plus 12. I think they have improved. Quinn Roo coming to the side there, he had a great game at the weekend. I think he will help the Irish pack front up to the English team. Big issue there is if they can compete with the scrum. Leinster got an awful roasting from Saracens and it's pretty much the similar tight five, so that Irish scrum can hold up, it should be a tight game. So I'm gonna, that plus 12 looks good to me.
Yeah, that's another one actually I like as well. And just to round off to make it the treble, I've gone for Sligo Rovers at home in the FAI Cup to Derry City on Friday night. Rovers are currently 7-5. As we mentioned earlier, hoping that the bounce factor and that they win that game for us. So that treble, this one, it's a bit bigger this week, lads. We're up to 12.17-1.
Wow.
So hopefully it's like the old London buses and two coming in a row. And that is Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week.
Smooth Jimmy's lock of the week. Thank you, lads.
Oh, the Sligo. Sligo dancer, there's a Kaylee in the tavern, come on in.
When you drive the ball down the field, what are you doing?
Okay, final bit, lads. Sligo dancer time. Ed McGinty romped. Well, didn't actually, sorry. What am I on? He didn't romp home at all. It was a tight tussle with Ollie Horgan last week. So, Ed, the freshly pressed white front's drawn the way to you. This week's nominations, sporting wise. Not a huge amount going on, Roscoe. But as you said before, it's not just sport, it's clubs, associations, people around Sligo. Who's your Sligo dancer? Ross, who's yours?
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Hubert Calvary. Spoke about him earlier in the week. I'm going to give him the twist with my nomination for the dancer.
Hubert, for getting called up for the Connacht
Academy.
Academy. Okay, so Roscoe, you're Hubert Calvary. Just not my notebook. I'm going to go for a man who's in the room here beside us, lads. Man on sound, Aaron Tansey. not for the sound now, but essential items are hard to get during lockdown, and of course we said we'd produce some Sligo Sligo Way white fronts, and turns out white fronts were not an essential item, but the man himself managed to track down, what was it, a 4-pack each? Two 3-packs. Oh, and wow. There's a delivery coming in as well on Wednesday.
33 to 35 inch
waist, medium waist. So Aaron Tansey, for tracking down white fronts during a pandemic, you are my Sligo dancer. Ronan.
Yeah, I'm 2 from 2 with the old Sligo dancer, but this week was a bit of a struggle. I was looking for some, you know, it was a quiet week on Sligo Twitter, I found.
Very quiet week,
you know,
yeah,
there was nothing kind of standing out. There were no real characters getting into arguments or anything like that. So probably my highlight of the week was I had a sensational curry from the Mandarin Court on Saturday night. My Sligo dancer of the week, I'm going to nominate the chicken curry from the Mandarin Court.
Right,
but how would you give that to, you wouldn't, the chicken curry, you'd have to give it to the manager.
The chef. We could smother the white fronts in curry.
I can't think of a better tribute.
A la dirty protest. So, the Sligo dancer this week, wow, and what a battle this is going to be. Russell Boyd goes for Hubert Calvary, I've got Aaron Tansey, and Ronan Moriarty has gone.
Ronan 100%.
Chicken curry.
He's going to make a tree from three. 100%.
Chicken curry wins. We'll have to. If anyone from the Mandarin Court listens to this, it could be a good sponsor, lads. I need to stay away from the Mandarin Court. But yeah, we'll get them, I suppose, to the chef, or we'll just put the portion of curry, as you said, smeared over. I'm down a rabbit hole here. Curry.
Probably a good way to end up, I'd say.
Yep, that's us, lads. That's everything, I think.
Thanks to Dara for the interview.
Thanks
great
to Dara Keenan. Great piece, yeah. Successful young Ballymount jockey. We're going to be hearing a lot more of him, lads. That's this weekend. Anything else, lads?
No, I'm happy. Good man.
No,
all good with me. Cheers. It up.
Thanks, Tansy on sound. Let's get out of here.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women and a crack, walking hand in hand along the Strand, Ben Bulbin at your back. By the river side, you can watch the tide as it flows to Sligo Bay. I'm on the move again, back in the groove again, back in the Sligo Way. I'm on the move again, back in the groove again, back in the Sligo Way. In the bookie shop, I done me lot.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.